But it's exciting to be with you all. I'm excited to preach the word tonight. Definitely get your Bibles out. We're going to be digging in and trying to learn something. You know, if you're here tonight, my assumption that should be a good one is that you're here because you want to grow spiritually. So nod your head if you want to grow spiritually. Be more spiritual. Amen. Right, for us who have made Jesus Lord and decided I'm going to be Jesus's disciple, our main aim in life is to become more like him, to become more like Jesus, and then to be faithful to him from the day of our baptism till the day we get to join him in heaven one day. But the truth is that doesn't just happen automatically, right? Becoming more like Jesus and making it from that first hug out of the baptistry to your first hug with Jesus, that doesn't just happen like you're not on cruise control after you come out of the baptistry, right? We got to really stay focused and diligent to grow spiritually and to be close to God and to become more like Jesus. We got to keep you to get from, yeah, I'll do a Bible study to Jesus is Lord and you're getting baptized. In between those things, you had a lot of big decisions to make and a lot of choices to make. And similarly, after baptism to heaven, you have to keep making the right godly choices. And we have to be intentional about that. And the decisions we make really matter. And if we want to end up with God, we got to keep making decisions that keep us on that track of growing spiritually, growing closer to God, and one day being with him in heaven. And so the title of my lesson tonight is Reap What You Sow. And that's a biblical truth that we need to remember and know is that we will reap what we sow. And I'll talk about what that means a little bit more. But first, I want to read Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. And Leslie's going to be posting these verses in the chat. So you can read in your Bible or look there. So Galatians 6, verse 6 says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh or the sinful nature, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life." And so this line is in there. A man reaps what he sows. And it says some other great stuff around that. But the truth, guys, is we reap what we sow. And I experienced this in parenting, right? I've had some awkward experiences where I've had to engage my children. They've used rude tones with Chelsea and I. They've, when Chelsea and I are trying to correct them or talk to them or tell them something, they'll just talk over us. And so some of the things I've had to say to my kids is, don't talk to me like that. If they're using a tone that they shouldn't. I've had to say to my kids, no, you need to listen to me, right? And these are some of the things I've had to say. Now, you reap what you sow. They've also said it back to me. And it's hilarious, but it's not funny in the moment. But there have been times I've had to try not to laugh. But I'll be talking seriously with Bradley about something he did wrong, and he doesn't like my tone, and he'll say, don't talk to me like that. Or, there's times that we're trying to tell him to do something and he'll just say, no, you listen to me. And obviously this could keep going in circles, but we got to step in and, get this thing shut down. But this is, he's picking up on this and it's getting thrown right back in my face. And in a very real way, this is kind of an idea of we reap what we sow, the decisions we make are going to determine the outcome of our life. And the decisions we make are going to determine who we are, right? We can't act one way and think we're going to end up with a different result, right? We can't spend all of our money and then think we're going to have all of our money. We reap what we sow. These are planting terms originally. To sow was to plant a seed. You sow a seed. And then you reap what you sowed. If you didn't sow any seeds, you didn't reap a harvest. If you sowed a lot of seeds, you reaped a large harvest. If you sowed a corn seed, you would reap a corn plant. If you sow a pumpkin seed, you reap a pumpkin plant. You reap what you sow. You can't go out and plant zucchini seeds and expect to grow bananas, right? So you reap what you sow. I hope that makes sense to you guys. But you know, we have to understand too that biblically this idea of you reap what you sow brings to the table this idea of consequence, that there's consequence to our decisions, right? The way we live has certain outcomes. And the other thing that I think it brings to the table too is the idea of trajectory, that, right, our decisions, the decisions we make aren't isolated incidents. We make decisions and they compound on each other and it builds over time. And so if we keep sowing bitter thoughts, eventually we're going to become a bitter person, right? If we keep not forgiving people, eventually we're going to have a heart that's filled with hatred, right? If we keep, if you don't have a quiet time once, okay, but if you keep sowing days that you're not getting in your Bible, eventually you are going to reap severe unspirituality. And so there's also trajectory and there's consequence. And so I do want to also note that biblically, the reaping, the consequence doesn't always happen in this life. And that's part of what Judgment Day is for. You could read Proverbs, you could read the book of Ecclesiastes, some Psalms, and different passages where the writer looks at the world and goes, basically says, why do bad things happen to good people and good things happen to bad people? Why do the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer? And we have to remember that God has a grand scheme in mind, and this life is not all there is. People, everyone will reap what they sow. It might be in this life. It might be in the next life. And that's why we got to be mindful of both. I do think a lot of times it does have consequence in this life, but we can know for sure that on Judgment Day, everyone will reap what they've sown. And I also don't think we can read this passage and not draw attention to God cannot be mocked. I put a lot of weight in this passage. God cannot be mocked. You cannot live one way and think you're going to get away with it. God, you can't say you're a Christian and live a different lifestyle and think God's okay with that, right? Or God cannot be mocked. He knows everything and he will deal with it accordingly. And he's not going to be mocked by people being hypocrites, or falsely acknowledging him. So I do think with this lesson, Reap What You Sow, it's important for campus ministry because this is a ministry of young Christians, right? If you feel like, hey, I'm an old Christian in your ministry, it's probably because you've been a Christian for 4 years. You know, we have a ministry of baby Christians. And the truth, guys, and I hate to say it, but the truth is too many don't make it. A lot of people become Christians and after 2 years stop following Jesus. When just 2 years ago, they sat down, looked someone in the eye and said, I will do this for the rest of my life. And not only just looked someone in the eye, but said that to God. And so we have to be sober to the reality that I have got to keep sowing spiritual decisions so I stay on the spiritual narrow path. I've got to keep making the right investment with my life so I have the right consequence, the right reaping with my life. We've got to keep growing. And so my question to you is, will you stay faithful? Not just will you stay faithful, will you grow spiritually? Will you mature? Will you persevere? Will you have a fruitful impact? Will you make it to the end? That's the decisions that we need to make. And like I said, it comes down to your sowing to, if it comes down to, are you sowing to please the Spirit? Or are you sowing to please the flesh or your sinful nature? Guys, we've got to sow to please the Spirit. Those are the two options we've got. Galatians 6 had two options. You're sowing to please the Spirit or you're sowing to please the flesh. If you sow to please the flesh, the Bible says you get what the flesh gives, which is destruction. Our bodies aren't going to last forever, right? But we'll also have destruction in our relationships, in our view of ourselves and of the world, destruction in our relationships with others, our view of ourselves and with eternity. But the other option is we could sow to please the Spirit. And then we get what the Spirit gives. And the Spirit gives eternal life. And God wants the eternal life to start now, for it to be on heaven, like heaven on earth, for us to start experiencing his kingdom here. And so we start to get to live a life with fruits of the Spirit in it, with the Spirit gifts, with lasting relationships, with and then with a room in heaven for us after this life. That's, if we sow to please the Spirit, we reap that life and that eternal life. John chapter 6, verse 63 says, "The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life." That's convicting, right? It says the Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. So if you sow to please the flesh, what are you going to reap? Nothing. It's going to be empty. But if you sow to please the Spirit, you reap life. And not just life here, but eternal life. So this is an amazing opportunity that we could sow to please the Spirit and reap the rewards of that. But it's also a great peril if we choose to sow to please the flesh and really reap emptiness and reap destruction at the end of it. And so tonight I really want to dig into a couple passages to make sure that we sow to please the Spirit and then reap the life here and the eternal life that God has called us to. And so I've got 2 points for us on this tonight. I hope you guys are with me. My 2 points are sow the good seed and sow in good soil. So we're going to talk about sow the good seed and then sowing in good soil. So let's talk about sow the good seed, right? We don't want to sow, obviously sowing to please the flesh is bad seed. That's not what we want to be sowing. We want to sow good seed. We want to sow godly seed, the seed of the Spirit. We want to sow to please the Spirit. And so this is all about who we're trying to please. Right. If we go back to Galatians 6, I hope you notice this. It says that we could sow to please the Spirit, or we can sow to please the flesh. And so this all comes down to who am I, this decision I'm about to make, this thing that I'm doing, this thought I have, this attitude I have, this thing I'm going to say, who's this pleasing? Is this pleasing God, or is this pleasing me, or is this pleasing people, or is this pleasing how I feel? Right, it all comes down to what is this pleasing? Is it pleasing God or is it pleasing something or someone else? Right, we must be people choosing. You've got to be the person who chooses. I choose to please the Spirit. I do what pleases God, what pleases Him. Not what pleases me, not what pleases people, not what pleases the world, not what pleases my anger right now, not what pleases my selfishness. I do what's going to please God. What pleases Him, because He's my Lord, He's my Savior, and He's the one I decided to live to please. And that's not empty. There's life in that. And so we got to try to do our best to do what He wants, and also trusting and knowing that what He wants is what's best. All right, guys, the world tells us, what does the world tell us? The world tells us to please ourselves. Follow your heart. Listen to your truth. Do what sounds good to you. Do what feels right. Do what feels good. The world tells us, please yourself. The world also pressures us at the same time somehow to please everybody else. Don't judge others. Try to fit in. Tone down your discipleship, right? Don't be so religious. Go with the crowd. Cancel culture, right? The world, it tells you on one hand, please yourself. And on the other hand, you better be pleasing everybody else. And so there's this strong message telling us, please yourself, please everybody else. And let me tell you, both of those things, pleasing ourselves and pleasing people, perfectly go hand in hand with what your sinful nature wants. Your sinful nature wants you to please yourself, and your sinful nature wants you to be a people pleaser and to please other people instead of pleasing God. Right? Our flesh, that's what our flesh wants. Our sinful nature, guys, you got to recognize this about yourself. You have a sinful nature, and your sinful nature wants the attention and the security and the comfort of pleasing people. It likes it. And you like how it feels when you get it, right? Our sinful nature wants us to please people and to get our security from people and to be comfortable with people, right? But the reality is our soul was designed to please God. And so our hearts are longing for us to please God. And only in that do we find life and satisfaction, because it's the Spirit that gives life. So we've got to sow the good seed of sowing to please the Spirit. right? Sowing the good seed is sowing spirit-led decisions, spiritual thoughts, spiritual actions, and all that stuff, it reaps the fruit of the Spirit, which you can go to earlier in Galatians, Galatians chapter 5. And earlier in Galatians chapter 5, you can see a list of this is fruit of the flesh, fruit of the sinful nature. And it's all corrupt stuff. It's bad stuff. It's what's wrong with our life, what's wrong with the world. And we got to get rid of sowing to please that. And then it says, here's the stuff you should be sowing to please, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, perseverance, gentleness, self-control. That's the stuff we should be sowing. So go read Galatians chapter 5. But Galatians 6, it tells us what we sow is what we grow. If you grow to please the Spirit, you will grow to be more spiritual. If you sow to please your sinful nature, you will become more sinful. If you become more spiritual, it's going to be easier to plant the Spirit and grow more spiritual. If you become more sinful, it's going to keep being easier to sin. And so we got to be intentional about, I got to sow to please God so I become more spiritual instead of more sinful. And so I want to just bring up a few areas that we got to look at our lives and go, man, am I sowing to please the flesh in these different areas? I think one of the biggest and scariest ones is sowing to please our ego, sowing to please our pride, our arrogance, our independence, right? And so are you sowing to please your pride and your independence? Well, let me tell you what you'll reap, or let the Bible tell you. The Bible says God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And so if you sow to please your pride, you will reap the opposition of God. He will be against you. And so maybe you're not sure you're being prideful. Well, let me give you maybe a way to figure out if you are. If you have constant friction with godly people, you might be being prideful. If there are godly people in your life that you constantly bump against, disagree with, have friction with, you're probably being arrogant, and you probably need to be more humble. And so if we sow to please our pride, we're going to guess who's God in that situation? Your God in that situation. When we're being prideful, we're becoming our own God. And so what are you going to reap? You're going to reap a life where you're the God of it. And good luck with that. We're not a good God of our own life. We can only accomplish so much and do so much for ourselves, right? We need God to be God, not ourselves. And so we can't sow to please our pride. But how about sowing to please a worldly success and having different career or lifestyles as our idol? And we've just got, our whole life is sowing to reap a certain career or a certain lifestyle or a certain degree of success, which it's not wrong to have those things. But is that what we're sowing to please all of the time? What ends up happening is those things end up dominating your devotion to God, and those things become your God instead. And so we've got to be careful with that. We've got to be careful with our dating and our purity desires. Are we sowing to please our desire to be dating? Are we sowing to please our desire for sexual intimacy, right? And you might not be thinking, right, when we think about feeding something, you could think about a meal. Hey, I'm not full-blown giving in a sexual morality. Okay, but are you giving it some snacks? Are you giving your sinful nature for sexual promiscuity some appetizers, right? And the way that we might do that is being choosy of which brothers and sisters we talk to, we hang out alone with. Is it people you're attracted to? Why is that? Is it because you're trying to feed your sinful nature a little snack? I think we got to be really careful with the boundaries we set up or actually don't set up. Who are we trying to please with this decision? Is this really to please God, or is it because I get giddy after this? I like this. I like the attention. I like the way it feels. You got to really do some self-reflection there. Who is this really pleasing? Your flesh or the Spirit? You know, social media posts. When you post something, are you sowing this to please your anger right now, your frustration, your judgment, your criticism? Or are you sowing to please the Spirit with this post? We got to do some reflection on our posts. Are you sowing media posts to please the Spirit? What will you reap? Will this reap unity, or will this reap dissension? Right? What is this post going to reap? The last thing, advice seeking. When you go to seek advice, who are you trying to please? Are you trying to find the answer you want or the answer God wants you to get? Right? When we get advice, we got to try to sow to please the Spirit. Guys, there's so many scriptures about getting advice. Read the book of Proverbs. Right? So advice is definitely from the Spirit. But then with that, who do we get advice from? Right? If you don't get advice, it might be because you don't like getting advice. And that would be sowing to please your flesh, not the Spirit. Right? But if we're sowing to please our flesh, if you only get advice from the people that say what your itching ears want to hear. Right? Or the people that you know are going to agree with you or tell you what you want to hear. Talk to those people. That's great. It's good to get mixed perspective. Nobody's advice will ever be perfect except the Bible's. But let's make sure our motives are not, I'm going to ask them because they'll tell me what I want, instead of asking people that maybe have set an example in this area or that are more mature or more spiritual. We've got to think about that. And when you get advice that you don't like, it would be good to think about, do I not like this advice because I don't like it or because I don't think it's what the Spirit wants? And so we gotta really try to figure out, am I trying to sow to please the Spirit or am I trying to sow to please myself? And I just want to say something too for some of you out there giving advice. Honestly, guys, I think some of you give advice that you have no business giving. Do not give serious relationship advice if you have only had impure relationships, worldly relationships, non-Christian relationships, unsuccessful Christian relationships, right? Some of you are giving advice that you have no business giving. And what is it reaping? It is reaping disunity. It's reaping bad decisions. It's reaping a lot of stuff that's not going to please God. And honestly, I can't think of what else the reason would be to give advice about something that you shouldn't be giving advice about, except for you're doing it to please your sinful nature. You like to feel like you know the answers. You like the attention, and all of that is sowing to please the flesh. I think this is stuff we got to reflect on and think about. And so are we sowing to please the flesh or sowing to please the Spirit? You know, guys, I'm saying all this the way I am and with passion because I've been doing campus ministry for 10 and a half years, and I have sadly seen my fair share of people sowing to please their flesh and then ending up walking away from God. And these are people that I was in Bible studies with that thought they would never get there. But you start sowing to please your independence, sowing to please your isolation, sowing to please lifestyle and career goals, sowing to please your desire for different things, and you end up leaving God when you never wanted to do that. You never wanted to get there. And so we've really got to be careful, who are we sowing to please? Your sinful nature, you've got to get to know it. What does it want? What is it like? Right, you know what your food, what kind of foods you like. You got to know what your sinful nature likes. Does it like attention from people you're attracted to? Does it like gossip and drama? Does it like everyone listening to you or agreeing with you? Does it like not being wrong? Does it like to vent its anger and to be in control? Does it like to stay comfortable and feel good? You've got to know what your sinful nature likes and then make sure that's not what you're sowing to please. Because all this stuff, it reaps destruction. That's what Galatians 6 says. It reaps destruction. And God cannot be mocked. You cannot act this way. You can't keep sowing to please the flesh and stay a Christian and stay in the kingdom of God. It's not going to work. And so we've got to keep sowing to please the Spirit if we want to keep being spiritual on the spiritual path and have the Holy Spirit. And so this is all stuff we've got to reflect on. God's given us options. We've got to sow to please the Spirit. You know, I'm going to go quick on this right here. I wanted to talk longer about it, but because it was so cool. It was from my quiet time the other day, but I just want to read these verses. Hosea chapter 8, verse 7. I've been studying out the book of Hosea. God's people were messed up. They were getting rebuked. And look at this verse right here. Just the first sentence. They sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. That's a cool line right there. Let me tell you what it means. God's people were sowing the wind. They were worshiping false gods. They were listening to their sinful nature. They were being sensual. They were they were falsely worshiping God. They were sowing the wind. And because they were worshiping wrong, it says that you're going to, so since you're sowing the wind, now you're going to reap the whirlwind. And the whirlwind was God's judgment. So you want to worship falsely, you want to be hypocritical, then you're going to get the whirlwind. And the whirlwind was God's judgment. Guys, I was going to share some pictures. You've seen it. I was out yesterday on a jog, and my town is ripped to shreds by the wind from this hurricane the other day. And I was thinking about this passage, and I was like, look, this is our life if we sow to please the flesh. God, the whirlwind is going to come through and wreck it. But if we sow to please the Spirit, then we're going to stand strong through the storm, and we're not going to reap the whirlwind. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12 carries on in the same idea. Listen to what this says. It says, sow righteousness for yourselves. Reap the fruit of unfailing love. And break up your unplowed ground. For it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers his salvation on you. But you've planted wickedness. You've reaped evil. You've eaten the fruit of deception because you've depended on your own strength and on your many warriors. Guys, we don't want to listen to lies, to deceit. We don't want to depend on our own strength. We want to depend on God. And I love what it says here, that we could sow righteousness and reap the fruit of unfailing love, right? That's what God wants. God says, look, I don't want you to reap destruction. I don't want you to reap the whirlwind. I want you to sow righteousness, sow to please the Spirit, and then reap unfailing love. And then God says, look, if you do this, if you sow righteousness, then I'm going to shower salvation on you, shower righteousness on you. God's not going to sprinkle salvation on us, right? He's not going to dip us in it. He's going to shower it on us. We're going to live a life drenched in the unfailing love of God. What a thing to depend on. I mean, it's just so polarized, what we reap if we sow to please the flesh, but then what we gain if we sow to please the Spirit. So guys, let's sow to please the Spirit. Let's sow good seed. Sowing to please the Spirit is sowing with humility, sowing unity, sowing integrity and righteousness, sowing wisdom, compassion, a good attitude, sowing trust in God, godly priorities, sowing devotion, sowing giving and serving with our time, sowing honesty, vulnerability, and surrender. This is how we sow to please the Spirit. And I just want to close out this point with a reminder for us that Jesus ultimately reaped the whirlwind that we sowed. We sowed sin, and Jesus reaped the consequence. And now he's calling us from the cross, from the resurrection, from the scriptures, to not keep sowing to please the flesh, but to live a new life by the Spirit, where we sow to please the Spirit. And then we get to reap a better life here, and we get to reap an eternal life. So guys, let's not reap the whirlwind. Let's sow to please the Spirit and reap eternal life. So let's sow the good seed. And secondly, let's sow in good soil. Hope you guys are still with me. The second point will be shorter, but I think it's important. We've got to be good soil. Mark chapter 4, you could go Mark 4, verse 14. This parable is in all three of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And it's an important parable. And it talks about the different soils that we can be when the word of God is planted in us. Are we a good soil, or are we one of these three bad soils? And we want the word to sow in good soil. When we hear the word of God, we want to be the good soil that grows. And so, just to quote again, Hosea chapter 10, it said, break up your unplowed ground, right? So if we want to sow righteousness, we got to break up our unplowed ground. If we got rocky soil, if our soil is a path, a hardened path, if it's got thorns, we got to break it up, get that stuff out, and become the good soil. So I just want to quickly look at the three bad soils and why they're bad, and then the good soil and how to be that good soil. So in Mark chapter 4, verse 14, here's the first bad soil, the path. It says, the farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. All right, so guys, we want to make sure that our life, our hearts, our minds are not the path. We don't want to be the path, because the path, the seed, the word of God lands on it, and immediately Satan snatches it away. So what does it mean to be the path? I think to be the path means that we're set in our ways. We're stubborn. We have hard hearts, clogged ears. We don't like to listen. We don't like to learn or think differently. Right, that we have a wall up, we're guarded. Then when I think about a path, I think about something that's set in place. It's not flexible. And so it's unwilling to change. And like I said, it's stubborn and hard-hearted. That's the path. The path is prideful. Right? And so what happens, as soon as they hear something, if you're the path, you might read a scripture. Here's something I said tonight. Here's something in a discipling time, and you immediately shut it off because you're a hard path. Nothing can get in. And guess why it's not getting in? Because Satan is snatching it away, right? You're not giving God the opportunity because Satan works when there's pride and when there's a hard heart. And so that's the path. The path is the one unwilling to change, unwilling to listen, not humble. And so I do want to point out that the path is the only bad soil that Satan is mentioned with. So I think there'd be an extra word of warning. God does oppose people who are a path and hard-hearted or don't want to listen or change. We can't be the path, right? And we'll talk more about the opposite of that in a little bit. But guys, reflect tonight. Is there any area of discipleship or area of your life where you're being the path, where God's word, godly people's words can't get in? The Spirit can't get in, and you're kind of stubborn and stuck and not really listening. The second bad soil is the rocky soil. So let's read the next few verses. Verse 16 says, others like seeds sown on rocky places hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. So I think the rocky soil is a very emotional soil, right? The rocky soil is shallow. Right? It doesn't go deep. It's not deeply spiritual. It doesn't think deeply. It doesn't go deep. It doesn't get the scriptures in their heart, in their mind. It's kind of here for the ride, here for the excitement. Wow, this campus ministry is awesome. This is exciting. I like being here. This is fun. But as soon as it gets hard, you're out the door. And we gotta remember, discipleship is going to be hard. We're going to have to deny ourselves. We're going to have to face many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, right? And so we can't stay shallow in our Christianity. We got to be deep. But that's the rocky soil. The rocky soil doesn't persevere. It lacks character. It lacks depth. And so we want to make sure that our Christianity is not rocky. It's not emotion-based. And so that can make us rocky. If our convictions are based on how we're feeling, we could be rocky. But it's also not shallow. And lacking character, lacking depth. And so because it's shallow, because it's emotion-based, when things get hard, when trouble and persecution come, they quickly fall away. So I want you to think tonight, how do you do when things start to get heated? When things start to get difficult, when it's a tough day, do you let your discipleship be influenced more by that or still by the Spirit? Right, are you more emotionally led and have shallow roots? Or are you working on building deep roots and being deeply rooted with God? The last bad soil is the thorny soil, the weedy soil. So let's read verse 18 and 19. It says, still others, like seeds sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. The Luke version says, because it does not mature. And so we don't want to be the thorny soil. What makes soil thorny? Well, it's all consumed with or clogged up with or fogged up by these thorns and these weeds, and it can't grow, it can't mature. Why not? Because it's so wrapped up in worries of this life, which might be important things, right? Like bills, finishing college, my career, my health, right? These are important things, but they can't choke out our Christianity. They can't consume us, but they they do, and we can let them, right? And we can't let the worries of this life that might be legitimate worries, we can't let worries of this life choke out the whole purpose of this life, which is walking with God and making it to heaven and pleasing God. So don't let the worries of this life choke out the real purpose of this life. And this is the deceitfulness of wealth, right? Honestly, guys, we gotta be honest. Are we deceived that more money will make our life more satisfactory, more secure, more fulfilling, right? And our culture tells us that, our society tells us that, our sinful nature tells us that. That if you could just make more money, that will solve what's wrong. And guys, it might solve some problems, but it does not solve the deeper problems, the real problems, right? All the money's out there that's needed, but if the right heart doesn't have it, no problems are getting solved, right? So the deceitfulness of wealth, we've got to be careful that we don't go after the deceitfulness of wealth, and then that ends up choking out our devotion to God. And lastly is desire for other things. Maybe you just don't like some parts of being a Christian. I don't really want to, you know, live this way. I don't want to do this. I don't want to have to do this. Or the desire for other things. I want a group with different priorities, with different objectives. I desire a relationship. And I'm not seeing one here. I'm not getting one here. And so you end up leaving God or choking out the word because you want something else. You have a desire, like it said, desire for other things. Other things is pretty broad. And so other things, anything other than God, that's choking out your devotion to God and choking out God's word. Guys, I just want to say one quick thing here. I think we got to be careful that when we're at meetings of the body, the sermon Sunday, midweek lesson, a Devo lesson like this, that our desire for other things isn't choking out the word of God, right? You might be excited to watch some TV show, but is that choking out the lesson you need to be hearing, right? You might be desiring the lesson to be about something else. Maybe you want the midweek lesson to be about something else. You desire a different topic. So because of that, or is that choking out hearing the scripture that is being preached? Because if it's scripture, it's still God speaking. So is a desire for other things, a different topic, keeping you from maybe hearing what is being talked about, right? And so we got to make sure our desire for other things, even at meetings of the body, is not choking out the word, that we're sitting here, but we're not really letting the seed be planted because we're not good soil. We're thorny soil. And so, guys, all of this stuff, it chokes out the word. If you picture God trying to talk and you're choking him because you're so wrapped up in the worries of life, the deceitfulness of wealth, or the desire for other things. That's what we're doing when we're the thorny soil. So we don't want to be the thorny soil. So what are your thorns right now? Are there some worries of this life that are pushing God out? Is there some wealth you're wanting that's pushing God out? Is there a desire for something else that's pushing God out? What's consuming you that's hurting your faith? Let's get rid of that stuff. Let's break up that unplowed ground. So to end this out, the good soil, verse 20 says, others, like many of us on this call tonight, many of you on this call tonight, amen? Others, like seeds sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop. They do something. They grow. Produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. That's a ripe harvest. That's an awesome harvest, right? That's what God wants us to be. He wants us to be good soil. Soil where you look at your life and go, wow, look at the Spirit just working through this person. Man, they're growing. God is using them. They're having an impact. They're changing. They're being humble. They're letting God use them. They're helping other people. They're raising their hand to volunteer. They're paying attention. They're getting in their Bible. They're who we need to ask when we need someone to help, right? That we're the good soil where it's like, man, my life is accomplishing so much more than I ever could have imagined. I'm reaping 30, 60, 100 times what I ever thought was put inside of me, right? That's the life God wants us to have, this good soil life. He wants us to be the good soil. And so to be the good soil, we got to not be the path, right? And so let's break up our path and be the opposite of the path. Let's be open, honest, humble, correctable, and teachable. Let's be receptive to God's word and take it in so we can be a person where the spirit can grow. Right? And then let's go from rocky to rooted. Let's be rooted. Let's not be shallow in our spirituality. Let's love deeply. Right? Get your Bible study game on strong. Get in the Bible every day to get rooted. Right? Have some spiritual backbone, some spiritual fortitude. Right? We've got to persevere, have character, develop discipline, keep obeying regardless of how we feel, and do what's right regardless of what we feel like doing. And then also, let's not get stuck and pricked by the thorns. We need to mature. Let's have a spiritual perspective, right? Let's have a godly perspective that helps us to not worry about life, because if we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, the rest will be given to us as well. Let's keep godly priorities on straight. Instead of the deceitfulness of wealth or a desire for other things, let's keep our priorities in a godly order. And if we do that, then we can trust God instead of worry. And if we seek to please God, we can trust God will certainly please us, that we will have life to the full and eternal life. And so I do want to say all of this takes maintenance, right? We don't become the good soil and then we're like, now I'm good soil for life. Every season, we got to keep refining our soil, right? So we don't just become the good soil once and that means, you know, you're the good soil for life now. I think it's easy for our heart to start to get hard over time, or as bad things happen, for thorns to start to go, for rocks to roll back in, or for other people to roll rocks into our soil, right? And things that happen to us, right? But we've got to keep bringing ourselves back to the cross, back to repentance, back to lordship, so we can remain that good soil, keep being that good soil where we can spiritually grow. Guys, God wants us, God wants you to be good soil, where you can look at your life, he can look at your life and go, man, look at this man of God, look at this woman of God, just reaping the fruits of the Spirit. You know, just 30, 60, 100 times what was sown, right? That's what God wants to see in your life, to reap this spiritual fruit. And guys, practically, what does that mean? That means you're living a life where you're growing spiritually. You live a life where you help others, that you help other people become Christians. You're making disciples. Guys, God actually wants to use you to help other people get to heaven. Maybe 30 people, maybe 60 people. Guys, have a dream to help 100 people become a Christian in your life, right? That you could reap 130, 60 times what was sown, right? Where we're having the spiritual victories of helping disciples that maybe were starting to become a path or rocky or thorny. We're helping them break up their soil. We get in there with other disciples and we have the spiritual fruit of turning other people back to God again. Right, where we help other people to get through hardship or temptation, or we get through it ourselves. The spiritual fruit of raising a godly family one day, having a lasting godly marriage, or the spiritual fruit of being perfectly content with God alone for the rest of your life, even without a family or a marriage. That's something that the Spirit can give you as well. We've gotten to learn from the Spirit to be content without a lot of money. Right, but if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. That's what Timothy teaches. And so, guys, this is the bountiful harvest that God wants us to live if we sow to please the Spirit. But if we sow to please the flesh, it counts for nothing. And on top of all of that, if we sow to please the Spirit, we'll reap eternal life. We can only begin to imagine what that will be like. But guys, I hope you got tonight how important it is to make sure that we're sowing the good seed, that we're sowing to please the Spirit. Am I trying to please people, please myself, please my flesh, or am I trying to please God? And we got to be intentional about the decision daily. I got to try to please God. But it's going to be hard to please God if you don't have good soil. You got to sow in good soil. And so if you're being the path, you got to break that up. Get soft, get humble. If you're being rocky, you got to get deep. You got to get character. You got to get rooted. If you're being thorny, you got to cut that stuff out. You got to start to be focused on God, prioritized on God, trusting in God. If we do that, then your life is going to reap a bountiful harvest and you're going to become spiritual. Keep becoming more spiritual and get to live the life that God has called you to. I hope this was inspiring, helpful. I hope you heard what you needed to hear. I love you guys a ton. I want all of us to be in heaven together and not just be there together, but help a whole lot of other people get there with us. So thanks for being here tonight, guys.
Right on. Hey, guys, let's give it up for Rob.